I believe in gratitude based on my personal experience. And I believe in science also. Science has confirmed the power of gratitude. So, in thinking about gratitude today, I thought I would do a little research to further my understanding. There's a lot of information about gratitude online, folks. In fact, these are some of the headlines that I found. 37 research-backed benefits of gratitude from thebrainflux.com. 31 benefits of gratitude you didn't know about from happierhuman.com. 28 questions answered thanks to gratitude research from Positive Psychology magazine. 7 scientifically proven benefits of gratitude by Psychology Today magazine. 6 surprising reasons why gratitude is great for your health from realsimple.com. 5 scientifically proven benefits of gratitude found in Newsweek. But don't worry, I found one article that only has 4, so we're sticking with that one. It's an article based on a study by the Greater Good Science Center at the University of California, Berkeley, so I figured it would do for us. This study included about 300 college students who were seeking mental health for depression and anxiety. The participants were divided into 3 different groups, and all the groups got counseling. But of those 3 groups, 2 groups had to do a writing assignment. One of the groups had to write about how they felt from all these negative experiences that they were going through. And the third group had to write a letter to a person and thank them for something in particular. And they had to do that once a week for 3 weeks. What the study showed was that the group that wrote the gratitude letter reported significantly better mental health after the study ended. And these were their 4 findings. Number 1, gratitude unshackles us from toxic emotions. So when they compared the 2 groups that had the writing assignments, the authors noted that people that used fewer negative words reported better mental health. And that's probably because they weren't focusing on the negative emotions like the other writing group was, and so they were spending less time thinking about what was wrong and more time thinking about what was working for them. Number 2, gratitude helps even if you don't share it. So these letter writers didn't have to send or give or mail these letters out to these people that they were writing to. And in fact, only 23% of them actually mailed the letters. But they still had the benefit from it. So this suggests that just because you write appreciation to another person, that brings out positive feelings and expresses a change of focus. Number 3, gratitude's benefits take time. So all these groups that had counseling, they started showing improvement a week into the study. But the letter writing group had better mental health 4 weeks after the end of the study, and even better mental health 12 weeks after the study ended. And this is different than other research. So the authors think that because they were writing the letters and they were having counseling, they probably shared those feelings that they were writing about with other people. So that reinforced the psychological benefits of this activity. And finally, number four, gratitude has lasting effects on the brain. So all the participants were scanned in an MRI, and the letter writing participants showed a greater activation of the medial prefrontal cortex in their brain when they were thinking about gratitude. This is the area of the brain that is connected to learning and decision making. So this shows that the lasting effect of gratitude lasts for longer, and we think that that creates a training in the brain that becomes more sensitive to the experience of being grateful, and obviously has a long-term effect. But this isn't the classroom, and what use is research unless it's applied in the real world? So let's apply it to my particular case. 10 years ago, I was living a privileged life in Roswell with my husband and my children, and then I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And out of the blue, folks, a group of 7 women formed a band of sisters who helped me through the turmoil for the next couple of years. And these are all women I met at UMIN. So let's see. Number one, gratitude unshackles us from our toxic emotions. Yep, the overwhelming support I got, not only from these women, but from many of you sitting in this room now, gave me the strength to make bigger decisions. That gratitude unshackled me from a toxic environment that my children and I were living in. So, on top of cancer, I divorced my husband, I sold our house, and I embarked on a new life. Number two, gratitude helps even if you don't share it. I keep all the letters and the cards that I got during those months, and I have read them over and over. They are a reminder that people cared about me. But something else happened that is difficult for me to explain. I felt lifted up, protected by a circle of light during those months of uncertainty and physical pain. Months later, I would find out that my mother's congregation also prayed with me and for me. Was it a coincidence? Number three, gratitude's benefits take time. To this day, I am still close to my Roswell sisters. We have created a bond difficult to break, and the circle has lost and gained sisters. We talk frequently, and we help each other out in times of need, so the connection continues. And number four, gratitude has lasting effects on the brain. I'm going to leave that to the experts on my brain, but I know that going through the hazards of cancer with such a strong group of people gave me the strength to go back to school. And so, people of UMIN, I feel blessed to have you in my life, and I am grateful.
Thank you. I so appreciate you being here at UMIN this morning, this Sunday morning. Out here we have many long-time members, long-time friends, some short-time members, short-time friends. Maybe people have been here only a few times and some people just for the first time. There might even be a few people here by mistake. Maybe their GPS brought them here, but really they were intending on going to the Baptist church next door. Welcome anyway. But I so appreciate you being here at UMIN this morning, this Sunday morning. Because you could have spent your Sunday morning somewhere else. I mean, churches have a lot of competition. I mean, you could be home binge-watching Game of Thrones right now, right? You could be doing that. Or you could be in bed watching the early morning news shows. And maybe that's why you're here, actually. You saw the early shows, and in the despair that followed, you figured out, I got to go get some church. Many folks are simply overworked and exhausted, busy. Maybe you have a Little League game to go to later today or a dance recital to attend. Everyone is very busy. But today, you all came here to UMIN. Yes, I so appreciate you being here at UMIN this morning. As I said, you could have chosen to spend your Sunday morning elsewhere. And you wouldn't be alone if you did it. I probably don't need to tell you that there's an ever-increasing number of people who have absolutely no religious connection to any church or any denomination at all. These are what we call the nones, the N-O-N-E-S. I probably don't need to tell you that an ever-increasing number of people are being raised in households where it's customary not to go to church. This is different than like the baby boomer generation. The parents of the baby boomers went to church in droves and they dragged their children along with them. But that's not what happens now. I probably don't need to tell you that there's an ever-increasing number of people who can get their religious sustenance by clicking a mouse, going online, listening to a sermon or whatever at a time that's convenient to them while they're eating breakfast. And they have no commitment, no pledge to that church or denomination at all. There's no commitment on their behalf. I probably need to tell you that there's an ever-increasing number of people who see their participation in our culture as isolated individuals who have individual needs rather than seeing themselves as someone who's an integral part of a community that's pursuing the common good. Such individuals might say, what's the purpose of a religious community? And what is the common good? This is what we're up against, not just here, but all churches. It's what we're up against. And I may come back to some of these characteristics that threaten how we do church in the near future. But today, in light of this, and because of this, again, I so appreciate you being here at UMIN this morning, this Sunday morning. I am grateful. I so appreciate and am grateful not just for those who show up here on Sunday morning, though, but for those who time and time again, despite the inconvenience, despite the demands of parenthood, occupation, career, despite physical limitations, financial limitations, and despite simply being exhausted, despite all this, I appreciate and am truly grateful for those who make this congregation what it is. I so appreciate those who show up, who've answered the call to be leaders here at Human. Those who choose to serve this congregation on its board of trustees, on its program council, its committee chairs, those who work on the committees, those who lead our music, sing in our choir, play in our band, and work the soundboard. Let's not forget the person who works the soundboard. Maybe a more challenging job than mine in this space. I am grateful for those who selflessly volunteer their time week after week, year after year in our MCY program, and those who developed and carried out this summer's wonderful children's program this summer that I was able to participate in a lot. I'm grateful for those who put the newsletter together each and every month, despite receiving all of our submissions after the deadline. After the deadline. The deadline is when we start to work. And I appreciate those who manage all of our different streams of communication. It's a challenge. Website, Facebook, Instagram, text, email. It's a monster. We can't thank those folks enough. I am so grateful for those in this congregation who are very passionate, very passionate. You can feel it. Those who support our Family Promise families, our Family Promise guests when they're here. And those who donate their time to North Fulton Community Charity month after month, sometimes week after week, donating their time, time that they'll never get back. Those who facilitate our small group ministries and do our adult enrichment. And those who maintain this beautiful garden out here. It's a challenging garden, weeds everywhere. Those who maintain that garden, those who keep our urns full of coffee, those who keep our septic tanks empty of you know what. And all of you who are oh so generous with your financial pledges and contributions. I also don't want to forget the air conditioning. You're lucky you have it on here today. We've had air conditioning problems this summer all over the building, and they've kept you comfortable. So I so appreciate all of those people who care enough about this beloved place to continue to show up time and time again, because it ain't easy. It ain't easy. But to me, it's oh so worth it. Why? Why, do you ask? Because I believe that Unitarian Universalism is the faith of the future. Thank you for being early adopters. But it's true. I believe that Unitarian Universalism is the faith of the future. It can speak to the universality of our existence, to the diversity of our humanity, and to the interconnectedness and interrelatedness to the natural world and to all that is. I believe that Unitarian Universalism is the faith that the spiritual but not religious and the nuns need but haven't yet found. And they don't know what they're missing. Not yet. I believe that Unitarian Universalism shows me the disconnected emptiness of rampant individualism. And that which truly fills, that which truly sustains, that which truly feeds us comes of this community, by this community, and for this community. But then extending that, I believe that the best of this community inside these walls inspires me to build and nurture the best in the community beyond these walls. I believe that this faith leads to the orientation not to what serves me, but what serves the common good. I believe that the faith like Unitarian Universalism is salvific in a nation and in a world badly in need of salvation. Not in some far off distant salvation, but salvation right here, salvation right now in this place, in this town, in this country. And I believe that Unitarian Universalism reminds me that salvation is truly universalist, but not in an individual sense. Not that we're all saved as individuals, but that we can't all be saved, or actually that we can't be saved as individuals unless we're all saved as one. It's communal. And I believe that Unitarian Universalism demands that justice, like salvation, is communal, universal. And that calling a person an illegal in that light then is nothing less than a crime against humanity. I believe that Unitarian Universalist theology maintains that a threat to justice anywhere, like Martin Luther King, is a threat to justice everywhere. So this is what I believe. And this is why I believe and I know that Unitarian Universalism is worth showing up for. And thank you for showing up today. I'm grateful that we've found Unitarian Universalism and human. Hearts full of gratitude. I'm reminded of a poem that we read last year by Reverend Richard Gilbert that a few of you commented on and said that it was meaningful, so I'm going to read that poem again, called I Am Grateful. To the chill of an autumnal morning, reminding me that I am alive, I give humble thanks. For the warmth of community, against the cold indifference of the world, I raise grateful hands. For the grace of the sun setting quietly on a still lake and rolling hills, I say thank you. For the past that I have not yet forgotten, though it recedes all too quickly, I give glad thanks. For the present that I can grasp, nettles and all, I utter a prayer of praise. And for an unknown future that both tantalizes and threatens, for an unknown future that both tantalizes and threatens, I am grateful. So I so appreciate that all of you care about this beloved place, to continue to show up again and again, and it ain't always easy. Sometimes we break our covenants with one another. Sometimes we have disagreements, misunderstandings. Sometimes we lose sight of where we're headed. But despite all this, you are here today, this morning, this Sunday morning. And like this morning's Zen story, tigers above and tigers below, hanging precariously on a cliff edge with mice gnawing at your support, at his support, he takes and reaches the strawberry and says, oh, so sweet. So may human be oh, so sweet. To you and to us all. May we now enter into a spirit of prayer and meditation. Beloved Spirit, despite the difficulties and sufferings that we must acknowledge and cannot deny, it is a true gift of grace to delight in this precious life that we have. Despite our countless shortcomings and faults regarding how we sometimes relate with one another, we are most grateful for one another. We are most grateful for this community. We give humble thanks. We are grateful for this faith that speaks to the universality of our existence, celebrates the diversity of our humanity, and honors the interconnectedness and interrelatedness to the natural world and to all things. We raise grateful hands. We raise grateful hands for this faith that inspires us to share the best of this community within our walls with those outside our walls. A faith that inspires us to build only walls that serve our collective common good. For this, we say thank you. For a faith that seeks not a far-off future salvation, but salvation right here, right now. A salvation that is truly universalist in a communal sense. That we aren't all saved as individuals, but that we can't be saved unless we're all saved as a community. For this, we utter a prayer of praise. And now, may we join together in a moment of shared silence.